The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the Father who has life sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the second Mass for All Souls Day, which we just celebrated, we ponder the significance of our baptism and how it was through baptism that we entered into Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. We ponder Jesus' words at the raising of Lazarus, that if we live and believe in him, even if we die, we'll live. In this third Mass, we will discover that this gift of newness of life with Christ, of a relationship with him who is the resurrection and life, isn't a one-time commitment, but a lifelong covenant that needs continually to be renewed. St. Paul's second letter to St. Timothy, which we just heard, he tells us, This saying is trustworthy. If we've died with him, we shall also live with him. If we persevere, we shall reign with him. But if we deny him, he will deny us. If we're unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. We need to die with Jesus in order to live with him. But we need to die not once at the beginning of our conversion or at the end of our life, but continually. We need to continually die to ourselves. We must persevere in that crucifixion to the world so that we might persevere in the risen life of Jesus. And if we persevere in such a way that he is reigning within us, then we will reign with him. The choice we face is perseverance or denial. He's faithful and will never deny us, as St. Paul tells us. But we need to persevere in fidelity to the end. That's what this year of faith has sought to strengthen us to do. Precisely to persevere. Even if at the end of our life we die through terrible agony. To persevere each day, even if our death might be totally sudden in an accident. We persevere each day in dying to ourselves and allowing Christ to rise from the dead. And the way we persevere is regularly entering into his death and resurrection. And we do that best precisely in the Mass, which is our participation in time in his eternal passion, death, and resurrection. Jesus tells us in today's Gospel that he is the living bread come down from heaven, and that whoever eats this bread will live forever. The bread he will give for the life of the world is his flesh. To have Jesus' risen life within us, we need to gnaw on his risen flesh and drink his resurrected blood. The one who does, he says, remains in me and I in him. Jesus promises to raise us on the last day. Just as Jesus has life because of the Father, so we are to have life because of him, because of our union with him through consuming his flesh and blood, through becoming one flesh with him in a spousal covenant. It's for this reason about the properties of the Eucharist that St. Ignatius of Antioch in the year 107 called the Eucharist the medicine of immortality. It's the remedy for death. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. What Jesus is describing, however, is not that we just eat his flesh and drink his blood as a magical potion of eternal youth and then go on with life as we please. Rather, through eating his flesh and drinking his blood, we enter into a holy communion with him. We share his life and he shares ours. We live because of him living within us. We make him the source and the summit of our existence. We turn our heart into an altar and our life into a mass celebrated in union with him. It's the banquet of the mass, which is the perpetuation of the Last Supper until the end of time, that Jesus indicates and that the first reading and the responsorial psalm today point. They also, however, point to the eternal wedding banquet for which the Mass is the foretaste and preparation, because this celebration leads to the eternal celebration. Isaiah prophesies how it is in the banquet of the Eucharist, encompassing the Last Supper, Calvary, and the empty tomb, that death is destroyed forever. On this mountain, he says, the Lord of hosts will provide for all people a rich feast, a feast of rich food and choice wine, juicy, rich food and pure choice wines. And we can think of no more exquisite nourishment than God himself. On this mountain, Isaiah continues, he will destroy the veil that veils all peoples, the web that's woven over all nations. He will destroy death forever. On that day fulfilled in Christ, it will be said, behold our God to whom we look to save us. This is the Lord to whom we looked. Let us rejoice and be glad that he has saved us. That's what happens to us, or ought to happen to us at every Mass, as we behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and calls us to his supper. We behold the Lord to whom we look to save us, and we rejoice that he is our light and salvation. That's what we rejoice and celebrate, because not only has he redeemed us, but he continues that work of redemption and makes it possible for us to persevere in a loving communion with him who is the resurrection of life, believing in him and living in him. The responsorial psalm also prophesies that the banquet of the Eucharist and the eternal banquet to which the Eucharist points is to be ours. The Good Shepherd leads us through the dark valleys of life to the verdant pastures, where he refreshes us precisely by spreading the table before us and making our cup overflow. That's why we're confident that all the days of our life we will dwell in the house of the Lord, the very temple that Christ makes as he makes us his tabernacle. To persevere in the Christian life, he faithfully gives us the means at every Mass. Just like the manna in the desert that enabled the Jews to survive, so Jesus gives himself to us as the true manna to help us persevere through the desert of life into the evergreen pastures of eternity. We thank the Lord that so many of our departed faithful lived Eucharistic lives, which is why we're filled with hope as we pray for them today, offering for them the Mass that inserts them and us into Jesus' prayer from the cross as he gave his body and blood to make eternal life possible. We pray as well today for those who did not have the privilege in life to receive Jesus in Holy Communion, that somehow in ways known only to the mercy of God, they might have received the effects of Christ's eternal self-gift that we are now so privileged to receive. We pray that our reception today may not only be the antidote for our death, but through the communion of saints, to theirs as well. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen.